Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau, welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We have a great guest lined up for you today. If you missed the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up. Julie Carrick is one of the most effective speakers and artists in the Catholic Church today. She brings a passionate message of faith, hope, and love woven together through her music and personal witness to living the faith. Praise God. She's a veteran singer, veteran composer. She's been featured at countless local, national, and international events. She's a radio host. She's heard on stations across the United States. She boldly shares her faith at every opportunity. She has 15 awe-inspiring recordings. Her music shares the emotional element that takes the message of God's love from head to heart. Amen. She's has 25 years of ministry experience. She's a co-founder of Carrick Ministries Foundation, and she's the author of a great book, On Failing Grace. And like I said, if you missed any of the prior episode, you need to go back and catch up, because we do not have time to go back and cover all of the great information Julie shared with us about her ministry. Today, I just want to focus on this great book. Praise God. Help me welcome back to the program, Julie Carey. Julie, thank you for taking the time to join us again today.
Oh, it's a privilege. And I enjoyed so much our previous episode. It was a delight to chat with you.
Oh, amen. I appreciate that. And the information you shared, I know it's going to impact our listeners. I mean, it was just great. And there's so much faith that came out of that interview. I mean, and that's what it's all about, living a life of faith. Amen. Mm-hmm. We covered a lot of your background and some of the details of your ministry in the prior interview, but you've been doing this type of work for 25 years now. Is that right?
25 years. It's just been an amazing journey of grace, for real.
Amen. Amen. And your music ministry and your speaking, they make up the majority of your time, of course, but you recently published your book, On Failing Grace. First, why do you believe the Lord had you write this book for this day and this time in which we live?
You know, oh my gosh. I believe the reason that he wanted me to do this at this time is that there has been so much adversity that so many people have gone through, and it would be very, very easy in this time that we are living to give in to the darkness of that adversity instead of embracing it as the gift that it is. There is so much grace that literally comes out of the adversities that we are allowed to experience that I feel like God really just wanted that reminder of grace right now. And that was why I was not just gently tapped to do the book, but it was like, write the book.
Amen. Amen. How long of a process was it for you to write this book?
Oh my gosh. So,
And don't say 25 years of ministry.
No. No, it was actually the most incredible thing. So, last year, my husband and I were doing what's called a regional tour. And as many of your listeners learned about me on the last episode, I am in the Catholic faith. And so we have these different liturgical times of year in the Catholic faith, and Lent is one of those. And so Lent lasts 40 days, leads us to Easter, right? So at the beginning of Lent, we were doing this regional tour in New Mexico, West Texas, and Arizona. And on the first day of Lent, I was stopped after, you know, doing an event. And this gentleman said, oh, I would love to get your book. And I said, I don't have one. And he said, well, you should write a book. And I was like, well, thank you. Thank you. I'll make a note of that. And I'm not kidding you. It was not one, but it was multiple people, many, many people. Every single day for those first 30 days of Lent, wow. I was approached and asked for a book. And so finally, you know, that day 31, we woke up in Midland, Texas, my husband and I. We began our day in prayer and we said, Lord, it feels like it's more than just a tap, but But with all the things that we do that you've asked us to already do with our ministry, with the foundation, with the support of other artists, with just the events that I'm doing, if you want this, Lord, there's two things that we're going to ask. One, the voice of authority, that someone within our ministry, the voice of authority, would speak boldly. And two, you have to show us how to do it, because I'm not an author. And I don't know the first thing about writing a book and, you know, 15 music productions I know how to do. I don't know how to produce a book, right? And so that was about 8 o'clock in the morning. At 9 o'clock, we were having breakfast with two of our board members who live in Midland. And in the middle of breakfast, Janice says, just out of the blue, she says, you know what? You need to write a book. And I'm thinking, oh, the voice of authority. Very funny, Lord, right? The audacity of the Holy Spirit to speak to her. And so my hope was, Rhett, her husband, he's normally the voice of reason. He's the guy that'll say, how are you going to do it? What's going to, you know, what are the practical steps of all of it? And I'm waiting and praying for the voice of reason to speak up. And instead, Rhett says, yeah, you need to write a book and we're going to make sure it gets done. Amen. And I almost fell on the floor. So I began writing on that day. I mean, that evening after we finished our event, we went back into the tour bus and we were sitting there and I just began to pray. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what you would want this book to be about other than the life of grace that you've allowed me to live, you know, and there is such a depth of his love. And then I started kind of going back, you know, from childhood up through that day to say, what are those beautiful things you want me to share? And I realized the beauty was coming out of the brokenness. Mm. And so I want to show you what it looks like. So this is the book. It's called Unfailing Grace, How Adversity Magnifies the Grace Within, showing the beauty of this tapestry of life, right?
Pull up a little closer to the camera. There you go. Amen.
So that's the, and it was an amazing process. And as a recording artist, one of the things that I thought would be kind of natural in the book is that I would share about my life as a recording artist. And I realized when I was finishing the manuscript, it had nothing to do with my life as a recording artist. It had nothing to do with that. And what was beautiful as I had finished writing all of the stories of life, how grace came out of infidelity in a marriage, how grace came out of a rape of a daughter who ended up pregnant from that rape, how grace came out of healing from cancer, how grace came out of so many different adversities that we were allowed to experience, and to see every one of those showed a deeper depth of God's love and presence in everything. And then I started to see how if I could look at life as a tapestry, you know, there's on one side of the tapestry, you see this beautiful image. But if you turn it over, the back of the tapestry is full of all these little knots and the little cut strings and the stuff that you need in every thread to make up that tapestry. Mm. But every broken knot, every string, every piece of yarn represents someone who's a part of my life. And I didn't journey alone. And the more that I wrote, the more that I saw God's presence in these beautiful people and in the people who have caused me pain, that they're all part of that tapestry. And they all have a perfect place in that tapestry of my life.
Amen. Amen. In your book, you share how God believes in you, even when you don't believe in yourself. Can you give us an example of that from your life and from your book?
Yeah. So the way that I can see in so many ways, but one particular example of that is one day I was sitting in prayer and I was feeling pretty horrible about myself. As a married woman, I should never, ever, ever, never allow my heart to wander from my husband, ever. And yet that was happening for me. I was starting to feel this distancing between my husband and I. And I was just feeling like, you know, I am so not even worthy to be in God's presence, let alone to even utter a prayer to him. And that day, as I knelt in front of him in adoration, I had such an incredible encounter with him where he said, I love you. I love you in your brokenness. I love you in your sin, but I'm going to call you out of it. I'm calling you out. And to see his mercy unfold in the way that it did, I realized that he wasn't giving up on me, even though I was giving up on myself. And to know that he loved me in spite of myself was the most healing moment for me. And I was, you know, that was like, you know, 19 years ago. And to see what God has fulfilled in my life in these past 19 years, he hasn't given up on me. He has allowed every part of me to be to his honor and glory, every part.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. And you share in your book how God will send his angels in mm-hmm. ways we're not even aware of. Yeah. What example do you provide in your book where this has happened to you?
So one of them, as soon as I hear that word angel, I think of my dear Barbara. Barbara was she is an amazing woman of faith. When my husband and I were living in Germany, when we were very first married, I showed up there as this brand new bride, trying to get a house put together. The military hadn't shipped over our things yet. It was this pitiful little apartment that had nothing. And Barbara came over and she said, "Hi, I'm an American too. And I just want to introduce myself." And within 20 minutes, I had everything I needed in my house until our stuff arrived, you know? And that's not just, I mean, that's one example of the physical things, right? The way that Barbara and I would pray together, you know, when we could be just sisters in Christ, praying for our children, praying for our marriages, praying for our, you know, and as life has continued over these 36 years since we met, the most amazing moment that I know God sent her to me as an angel was back in 2004. When that was the year that Satan took, you know, he put the gloves on, he was ready to fight. And he was, I tell my husband now, the devil wouldn't tempt you if you weren't a worthy prize, right? Yeah. And it was that year that Satan was willing to go to the mat to take us down, and God wasn't going to let that happen. And in my pride, in my horrible pride, I was afraid to even say anything to anybody. You know, I'm a Catholic recording artist. I'm a speaker that talks about God's grace and love and mercy. I can't reach out and say my marriage is failing. I can't speak to anybody about this. My pride kept me from even asking for prayer. And yet Barbara called me out of the total blue. She lives in Georgia. I live here in Scottsdale. And she called me one day and she said, "Howard and I are coming through town and we're coming by your house." And 2 days later, they're at my home. She walked in, she hugged me, she hugged my husband, and then she said, "Show me your house." And I went through and we were looking at the different rooms, and when we came into my office, she closed the door and she said, "God has sent me here to pray with you."
Amen.
And we knelt down on that floor and we prayed together. She said, "I don't know the details. I just know that God has sent me here to be your strength." And we prayed, and she said, "You are not going to give up because God will win this." Amen. And months later, you know, we saw how God was winning, and it was, yeah. I mean, and since then,
amen.
It just seems like in those moments, Barbara has been that incredible woman of grace. And
praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. Amen. That's hard to follow up with a question or with a, you know, comment like that, but it is so true. It is so true.
Yeah.
Share with us some examples from your book of miracles, how miracles happen in our life.
So the miracles, I think they are in my life, they're countless. I think so many times we miss the miracles because we have a different word for them. They are a coincidence. Oh, wasn't that lucky? Wasn't that, you know, we start using words because the miracles are even sometimes hard to accept. And in our last episode, I spoke a little bit about the lung cancer that I went through and how the miracle of that, where it was found while it was operable and my life was spared. But a couple of years ago, I had a recurrence of that lung cancer. And I was in this beautiful church in Fort Collins, Colorado, right after I had had that diagnosis of the recurrence. And as we were there before Mass was beginning, the priest who was celebrating that Mass and his deacon, they said, "If anyone would like prayer after Mass today, just let's gather here in the side chapel, and we're going to just pray." And as he anointed me. I held my hands out, and he blessed my hands, and he laid his hands on me, and he said, I'm just asking God to heal you in the sacrament of anointing. And as he prayed with me, I felt this heat just go through my body like I have never experienced before. Like the entire chest cavity was just warm, and it was a warmth that was inside and outside and all around me at once. And my husband, God bless him, he was in the back of the church in the narthex because we were there to present to this community. And so here's my sweet husband standing in the back, greeting people, letting them know what time we were starting the event the next day, and, you know, CDs and all the stuff available. And he's chatting with them. And here I am, getting prayed with, and he's doing all the work. And so when I walked out, I said, you know, it was such an incredible presence of God that I won't be surprised in the least if they can't find that tumor next week when I go in to start treatment. My husband hugged me, and it was beautiful. And we finished our events there in Colorado and came home. And I went into my physician's office that next week, and he was getting ready to do the scan where they mark everything for the radiation and the treatment that's now available for this cancer. And he literally was scratching his head, And he said, wait a minute. So then he's showing me the screen. He goes, this is where the tumor is. I'm like, yep. He goes, well, here's the scan we just did today. We can't find it. And I said, you can't find the scan? And he says, no, we can't find the tumor. Like, he's apologizing for losing a tumor, right? And I just started rejoicing, you know? And my husband is sitting there, and I was like, well, praise God. That's fabulous. And this oncologist is looking at me like, have you lost your mind? He's like, we can't find it. And I said, doc, I'm okay with that. I am okay with the fact that that tumor is gone. Amen. And so a week later, he called me in. He goes, could we just redo it? Could we just redo the scan? And I was like, you can redo that scan, but I'm telling you, I'm okay that it's gone. So he did the scan again. Of course, there's no tumor. And I went to my pulmonologist next. She's very, very incredibly good at what she does, but she's trying to figure out what happened to the tumor. And it wasn't until I went into my regular general practitioner, and she gathers everything, and she walked in the room, and she goes, I'm going to hug you. And I said, okay. And so I get this big bear hug from her, and she says, you know, it was a miracle, don't you? And I said, I do. Praise God. Amen. You know, amen. Out of three doctors, only two could claim, you know, God's presence in it, you know?
Amen. Amen. You also had a miracle with your second child, right? Tell us about that.
Oh, my Heidi. So when we were living in Germany, before I even knew that I was pregnant, I was having this horrific pain in my abdomen. And I went into the emergency room, and they did an ultrasound and saw that there was this huge mass growing in the fallopian tube. And they had, of course, done a pregnancy test. And the doctor was telling me that I needed to have surgery to remove that tube because of the ectopic pregnancy. Now, I'm extremely pro-life. And I was really grappling with my feelings. I'm like, I can't let them do this surgery. I know in my head that I was not choosing abortion. I know that. But it still felt wrong to me. Like, I can't just let them do the surgery. I felt like it would be better if I could just let the tube burst, and then if they could sew me up in time, you know, but you can hemorrhage out from something like that within seconds. And my husband, I left the hospital. I actually left, and I went to get him, and I was like, I can't do this by myself. I need you with me. And as he talked the sense back into me to go back to the hospital. And as we came through the doors, Father Clancy was walking out. Our pastor was walking out, a beautiful chaplain for the Army. And as he was walking down the steps of the hospital, he saw us coming in and the anxiety. And he said, what's wrong? And I said, I'm having an ectopic pregnancy and I don't know what to do. And he said, well, you need a miracle. And he laid hands on me and he prayed. And I was very young still in my adult faith at that time. And I literally was thinking, okay, let him pray long enough that this tube will burst on its own and I don't have to make this decision. And as he prayed, the pain stopped. And I said, okay, Father, I think I need to get in there. And I went in, and the doctor kind of yelled at me for leaving. And then he says, we need to do surgery. And he said, before we go in to do the surgery, I just need to do the full ultrasound, not just the right side, but the full ultrasound. of the entire uterus and fallopian tube. And so as he starts to do that scan, he went back and forth and back and forth, scratching his head. And he said, well, whatever it was is not here anymore. And then when they did the ultrasound that included the uterus, he said, well, here it is. Now, an ectopic pregnancy does not move by itself from the fallopian tube to the uterus. But our sweet Heidi was born 8 months later.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Yep. You know, our family also had a similar, similar miracle. Our second grandchild, my granddaughter, my daughter had her ultrasound, mm-hmm. and she had the videotape, you know, where they could record the video of the baby and all that. And it showed a deformed head and no blood supply to the brain. They got some special mm-hmm. medical terminology for mm-hmm. it. And her head was shaped like a football.
Right.
And they sent her home and said they were going to make her an appointment with a specialist who could give her some options.
Right.
We knew what those options were.
Right.
And she came home upset, of course, and asked me to pray for the baby. And the scripture we stood on was John 10:10. The devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I, Jesus, come to give you life, that more abundantly. And we prayed. And literally, as soon as we said amen, the phone rang. And it was the doctor's office. And they'd made an appointment. This is on a Friday afternoon, like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. They made an appointment for her at 8 a.m. on Monday. And her husband couldn't take off work like that without notice. So she wanted me to go with her to the doctor's. And I said, okay, no problem. And Monday, we went in. And they hooked her up to this ultrasound machine again. They popped she wanted the tape of this so she could show her husband, and the tape was recording, and I could tell it looked like a completely different image than right. what we had seen. And the doctor did some interview, and like you said, he's scratching his head and he's checking these things and he's flipping the pages, and he looked up and he said, why are you here? And he said, this is a perfectly normal little girl. And like I said, the tape, when you look at it, it looks like two completely different images, you know. And later, she wanted, now remember, this is when Friends was on television, mm-hmm. and she said, I think God wants me to name her Zoe. Zoe, I'm thinking that ditzy woman on Friends, right? Zoe, why would you ever, John 10:10, you know, where it said, Jesus came that you may have life, the Greek word and the concordance for that exact word life is Zoe. So Jesus came that we could have Zoe.
And
she knows that story. She's 21 yeah. years old now, works at a prenatal unit, right?
Yeah.
And in a hospital. And she knows, I mean, Papa reminds her about this story several times a year.
Oh, marvelous.
So she knows the story. She knows she's a miracle baby. She's had some health issues. We prayed and, you know, she's healed from them, and you know, but she knows God has a plan for her life. That's absolutely. The emphasis I put on. God has a plan for your life.
Absolutely. And,
but
absolutely.
I could relate. I related so much to that story in your poor. Amen.
Amen.
Hey, folks, Pastor Bob here. We're all out of time for our great interview with Julie Carrick. I mean, this is just part 3 of a great 4-part interview, and you can tell this is a great interview. Amen. It is not very often when I get to do such an extensive interview, but Julie and her background and this new book that she has just released titled Unfailing Grace is that interesting. Amen. I'm getting a lot out of this. I know you are as well. I urge you to reach out to Julie Carrick, email her, visit her website, and order her book. You don't even have to wait till the next episode to do that. Just praise God, go down to the show notes, get in touch with Julie, and be sure to order her new book, Unfailing Grace. Till next time, when we're going to be concluding this great interview with Julie Carrick, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing FaithCasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting.
Become a sought-after guest on Faith-Based Podcast. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.